we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Father, we pray that your will would be accomplished. And Father, that we could be that you would be honored and pleased with, and even say those things that you would be honored and pleased with, that it could draw us as your people close to you. And Father, help those that are without you see their need of Christ. Father, we ask for your blessings, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. I know you know that in Romans chapter 1, verse 31, it deals with without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, and then implacable, unmerciful. Of course, we dealt with all those, and even unmerciful, we dealt with that. But implacable, as you come, and as we mentioned last week, there are people that do not want to enter into agreements. There are people that don't want to get married. Sometimes that's because maybe they've had a broken heart at some time. But that's a problem with the other person. That's not a problem with the institution of marriage. It's not a problem with people trying to do that which is right. We don't commit sin because we got our feelings hurt somewhere. But there are some people that says, well, I've been hurt once. I'm not getting hurt again. I'm not entering into another relationship. I'm not entering into another covenant. I'm not entering into any agreement. And sometimes when you get to a person that's implacable or a person that cannot be entreated, a person that you cannot basically make a treaty with, there are sometimes different reasons for that. And I think about how some were offended at Christ and some of the things that he said. Now, I will say this, the gospel will offend sometimes, won't it? Now, I do not want to be an offense to people personally. I do not want to commit a personal offense against somebody. But if the gospel offends, then I've got to let it offend. And there were times when people would just walk away angry with Christ. There's times when they wanted to kill him. And, of course, they did eventually take him before the Romans and have him killed. Of course, that all being according to the will of God also. But it's because they did not want to enter into that new covenant. And they wanted to remain in the old covenant. And I'll even say this, they weren't even walking in the old covenant right. They weren't even doing those things right. They had added many things. The Pharisees had. They had added many rules and some heavy burdens for people to bear. I can't imagine what it would be like to have the Sabbath day and you can't pick up anything that's bigger than a fig. I really can't imagine that. I mean, that would make it where if you were fixing a bowl of cereal that morning, you couldn't do that. You know, ladies cooking on a Sunday trying to prepare a meal, you wouldn't be able to pick up a pan, would you? I mean, that would be some hard things to deal with. I don't know how they achieved all the rules and all the things that they put down. I don't even know. But they did those things. They put some heavy burdens on people and added things to the scriptures and just put things that caused a lot of harm to the real doctrine. And of course, Jesus rebuked them for that, and because he did, many of them got offended. And there was nothing Jesus could say to them to convince them to turn to that which is true. Many of them hardened their hearts. And in that, that's one of the things that they became. They became implacable. They became a person that you just couldn't reason with. Have you ever met somebody that no matter what you said or did, you just couldn't reason with them? You couldn't come to an agreement? I mean, that's what he's talking about here. There's people that get offended, sometimes by us, maybe sometimes by others, and they get to the place that you can't have a rational conversation with them. You can't come to peace with them. They won't have it. I know there's times, even in war sometimes, there's people who just, they're going to have their way no matter what. I'm trying to remember, I think it was Haman. You go back and study and in the book of Esther, that, you know, he so hated the Jews, there was no reasoning with the man. He had it set on his heart, he was so angry, and no matter how much he was promoted, no matter how much money he had, no matter how much gain he had, you think about the position that he had in his day and time, you'd think a lot of people would be rejoicing Look at what I have. Look at my children. Look at my wife. Look at all the blessings that I have. But he was still angry, wasn't he? And the only thing that was going to satisfy him was killing all the Jews. I mean, there was just no reasoning with him. And I'll tell you this, Haman's not the only one that's ever been like that. There's been plenty of people throughout history that you just can't reason with them. And you know, there's some people says, oh, if you would say the right words, if you would just do just the right thing, you know, you could get them to understand. No, there's people you just can't do that with. There, as it says here, implacable. You just can't do it. I'll say this, there's a lot of them in the world today, isn't there? It seems like it's getting worse and worse. I think part of it is because we've taken away the insane asylums, and that's at least partly to do with it. And look, there needs to be a pile of people in some insane asylums in our day and time, people that don't know whether they're male or female. That's a psychological problem in most cases, and they need to be getting the help that they need, but instead, we're just playing along with the game. We're playing along with the insanity. And it's sad that it's that way. It is. But do you think you're ever going to reason with those kind of people? Can you have a rational conversation with an insane person? I mean, there are just some things you can't do. It's like trying to be somebody that Stalin thought you were the enemy. Were you going to plead your case and get away, or did he want to sign your death warrant? He wanted to sign your death warrant. There was no having a conversation with him. Sometimes you read the history of that. He got excited about how many names he could sign in one day to have killed. How are you going to reason with that kind of person? You can't. There are some people that you can't reason with. You can't get into a treaty with. You can't get into an agreement with. I'll even say this, you can lower it down sometimes. There's times when us men can be so stubborn, nothing our wife says, we're going to agree with. You ever been so heated that it didn't matter what was said or done? You were just going to be wrong. I've been there before. I've even known I was wrong before, and I was just like, nope, I made up my mind. And in that time, that's a pretty big sin, isn't it? But you get to the place that no matter what somebody else says, I'm standing right here, no matter what. And there's no amount of reasoning that can be done. I said that to the men. You wives ever done that to your husband? You just ever got so angry that there was no apology going to be accepted at that moment in time? We just get so hot-headed sometimes as human beings that there's no rational conversation that can be had. And look, when you see that, I'll advise every one of us, when you see that kind of situation, whether with a friend, a boss, a co-worker, a spouse, whatever it is, your best thing to do is walk away. Because no matter what you say, it's not going to end. You're not going to come to an agreement, at least in that moment. You hope that cooler heads will prevail over time, but sometimes we get so angry, we get so hot. And there's people that are that way all the time. Yes, there are. But sometimes you got to have it in your mind. Look, if I can't reason with somebody, I've got to walk away. Because if not, you're going to behave just like them. And you're going to get in the same situation. And that means that two people are sinning instead of one person sinning. You don't want to get into that place. There are people who don't want to be ruled. There are people who don't want to give in. There are people who don't want to admit that they're wrong. And there are sometimes people that are just offended and nothing you can do to change it. You know, years ago, I pastored a lady. And somebody offended her. I don't know what happened. I tried to get, to the root of it. I never could find out the details. I know that something was said to her child. I know that. But I don't know what was said. I could never get any information out of anybody. I tried to reconcile it. I even told her, I said, look, if I know the information, I said, I'll do everything within my power to try to correct it. I tried to make sure first and foremost if I had done something. I knew I hadn't said something against the child, so that kind of took it off. But you know, I tried to figure out what we could do to get them back into church. And look, to this day, I don't know of them going to church anywhere. That's been a while back. I don't know the exact years, but it's probably getting close to 20 years. At least 18. As far as I know, I don't know of the son. I don't know of the woman. I don't know them ever coming back to that church outside of maybe for a funeral. You know, sometimes we can offend people and they say, I'm just not going back. You say, well, that's their fault. They're committing the sin, being implacable. But I will say this, we can cause people to walk in sin if we're not careful. I know their sin is held against them, but at the same time, even the Lord said, woe unto those who offend. Especially mentioned that with children, didn't he? Offenses are going to come. And again, if people are offended by the truth of God's Word, that's one thing. But God even told us, woe unto those who offend. We need to be careful with what we say and what we do, because we can't offend people to the point that they say, I'm just not coming back. You say, well, that's their fault. That's their sin. It is, but we have to deal with our own too. We need to make sure that we're not hardening somebody's heart. We need to make sure that we're walking in the ways of the Lord, because a person that's offended, I tell you what, it's hard to win that person over, isn't it? You're about, as it says somewhat in some of the things in the book of Proverbs, you're about to the case where you can go and it's easier for you to overtake a city than to help somebody that's been offended. Sometimes building those bridges back that have been burned is very difficult, and sometimes they're near about impossible. And while they must deal with that sin, we must deal with what we've done. We must look into what maybe we've said or we've accomplished. And we need to be careful. On another side of this, I do want to look at, with implacable, I think about wars. You know, in studying war throughout time, you know, most wars did not have to be fought. Most didn't. There are times when war is necessary. There is. You got an invader coming in. You know, you got a right to defend yourself, and there's times when war happens that way. But most wars are fought because this king got offended at that king, or this ruler got offended at this one, or some little thing happened. You know, I've yet to figure out how so many countries got involved back in World War I over somebody being killed. You would think they could just resolve that on their own and try to fix that up, but I tell you what, the whole world was at war because of that, and of course, how World War I ended led to World War II coming about. So you could say because one war was fought, they didn't have to be fought. There was two wars that were fought. And a lot of things done wrong in between. But most wars don't have to be fought. You know why they're fought? Usually because somebody's implacable. And a lot of times it's because more than one person is implacable. Pride. Stubbornness. There's no way I'm giving you an inch. There's no way I'm moving. I hate you with a passion. And I'll kill everybody you got just to spite you. And in other words, what they're saying is, I'm willing for 100,000 or more of my people, how many it is, the thousands or the millions or however much comes about, that there's a lot of times people will say, I will let this many of my soldiers die before I give you an inch. Now again, I understand war is needful at times. But a lot of times the reason war is fought is because neither side or one side won't move. And I know it's not the same equation, but I think back to when David made the statement, thou diest as a fool dieth. You know, it's a shame when people have to die when they really didn't have to. There are things worth fighting for. There are things worth dying for. But you know, it's a shame over the years at how many times people have died that didn't have to die. There's been millions throughout history that's died because of the sin of being implacable. Usually done by a king, an emperor, a ruler of some sort, that got so upset and so much on their pride, and I'm going to get my way no matter what. And look, that's happened a lot throughout history. And yet we can look at the wars and sometimes say, well, that's a horrible thing. But I want to get back, as we've tried to several times, to say we need to look at ourselves. We need to judge ourselves. How many marriages have ended because of the sin of being implacable? How many marriages didn't happen? How many families have suffered? Children raised without a mama or without a daddy because of that sin. How many countries have been destroyed because people wouldn't move? There's times that you don't move, don't get me wrong. There's times you don't give an inch. There is, and I could give you scripture for that. But this means that you're getting to a place where nobody can talk to you, nobody can appease you, nobody can entreat you. Rational thought has kind of gone out the window, and pride is left. And dear friend, we need to be careful with that. We need to be careful because it can do a lot of damage in churches, in homes, in communities, in nations. It can do a lot of damage when reason is left, when truth is no longer important or valid, when pride takes over and we say, I don't care what they say, I'm going to hate them. I don't care what they say, I'm not going to agree with them. I'm just going to be angry and I'm going to not give an inch. And I tell you what, that does a lot of damage. Let's make sure that we don't get caught up in that. Let's make sure that we're always standing on what's true and right and not on pride. This is the burden that God has given us today. If you have a burden, a prayer request upon your heart, we'd invite you to come while I have a verse of a song.